You people are lucky I like you, because I'm really fucking tired.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present D3rd possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. And I'm tired. God damn it. I just not do this shit anymore. Hey, let's go out drinking. Do I have to? Alright, I guess I do. If you're going to buy everything, I kind of have to. But god damn it. Stating the obvious, cruise missile. Hi. How are you? I'm tired. Oh, god damn it. Let's have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 beers and 2 whiskeys later. Finally got to bed at midnight or something close to that. Had to get up early and work, of course, because God forbid. Because, yeah, well, you know, we'd never go out drinking on a night when I don't have to get up. Not that I fucking don't wake up normally in early anyhow. I still woke up at 5:45 in the morning, just feeling like shit. But I don't do that crap anymore. So I'm a day drinker. It's like, no, let's go. It's 8 o'clock at, no, 7 o'clock at night. It's 7 o'clock at night. Let's go drinking. I'm like, dude, it's almost my bedtime. I'm like, no, I am a day drinker. I go to the bar at 11 a.m., start drinking, have a few drinks, get a little tipsy, feel good, go home, do some shit. By the time bedtime rolls around, I'm fucking sober. I don't want to do this shit anymore. Hi. Who the fuck am I? I am hungover. I'm an alcoholic. I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, blah blah blah. The control room, lovely, adorable, Randy, not hungover, making fun of me, which I guess I deserve. I could blame the patriarchy, but I kind of deserve it. I'm still not that. I'm not that hungover at this point. But it's just like, fuck, it took a lot out of me. Especially the whiskey. It's like, why do we have to do whiskey? Why do we have to drink whiskey? Oh, yeah, because you're buying. All right, fine. If you really want to buy me expensive whiskey, I'm going to drink it. But god damn it. I'm going to bitch the whole time like a fucking woman. Today is July the 11th. The year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. So I'm hanging out with this guy the other day. We were spending some time together. We did some hiking together. And we go back and we get in some food and we're out having it. Well, yeah, we go out to get some food. First we stop to have a few drinks because you got to have a couple of beers before you get food. And so we start kind of talking like, politics rears its head a little bit, sort of indirectly, via economics. And I start tossing words out there like statist. And the guy, we'll call him Anthony. I'm throwing out words like statist. And Anthony is like not asking me, what are you talking about? Anthony is exhibiting that he is familiar with the concept of the word statist. So, shit. Hang on 1 second. I gotta fucking hit this button right here. Goddamn fucking computer. Yes. Do it, you little piece of shit. And I throw out a few things, and it starts getting a little deeper and a little more involved. And finally he says, so who would you say is your favorite philosopher? I'm thinking, what the fuck? Because the sheeple, none of these fucking people know what a... when in your life has anybody ever asked you, who is your favorite philosopher? So I said, well, I would say, if we're talking ancient philosophers and the classics and stuff like that, I would say Aristotle. And he says, oh, that's a good choice, in which I thought I wasn't looking for your affirmation. You asked me a question, I'm telling you the answer. Stop being a woman. If you ever hear this podcast, I may pick on you a little bit, but just deal with it. And I said, but if you're talking about modern philosophers, probably my favorite modern philosopher is Stefan Molyneux. And the guy, Anthony, says, oh my God, I can't believe this. He's like, he gives me this hug. He's like, I can't believe this. That, because I live in Fort Collins, and he's traveling. We'll talk about it in a minute. He's traveling. And he's coming through, and he goes, I thought you were going to be this total left-wing statist. And I'm like, no, I'm like the only non-left-wing statist in all of Fort Collins. And anyhow, so after this, the whole rest of the night, basically at this point, I have free rein now. Essentially, I spent the next 2 hours doing an episode of this podcast where I said all the sorts of things I say here. And he spent most of the time, he would start a sentence and I would finish it for him. And then he'd go, oh my God, I can't believe we're on the same wavelength. I've never met another person who thinks as much like me as you do. And it's just like, well, yeah, thanks. I am pretty fucking awesome or something like that. I don't know. And we drank more booze, and then, we talked about how stupid statists are, and we talked about stuff. And we got around to girls, and I expressed, my opinions on girls, and he was just like, oh my God. So, when the student is ready, the master will appear. That's how I felt as the master, because the guy was sort of drooling on me a little bit, in a platonic kind of drooling. But it was okay, because the thing is, see, I understand. And I really do. It's like when you actually encounter another person who's not a left-wing statist, social justice warrior idiot, right? It's like when Aaron Cleary dropped by to visit me. I don't think I was the greatest conversationalist on the planet because I hadn't had an intelligent conversation in so long. I didn't really know what the fuck to do. And it's like, oh my God, not only is it like Aaron Cleary himself, but it's like, Jesus Christ, I can actually just have an intelligent, rational conversation with another human, and I'm not going to hear about how Donald Trump is a racist, or how Donald Trump's Twitter stream needs to be turned off, or how all men are rapists, or how white people stole the land from the Indians, but the white person saying this isn't giving any of their land back to it's just this whole other world. And I understand, I really, really fucking understand his excitement and his shock, the pure shock at finding someone else. And again, especially, he knew before he showed up that Fort Collins is this hotbed of left-wing statism. And then I told him, I said, yeah, no, it's probably, however bad you think it is, trust me, it's worse than you think. There's like, we're sitting there on the patio of this bar, and people are walking by, and I'm sitting there with a beer in my hand, very loudly in my podcasting voice, proclaiming something to the effect of, the people in the city of Fort Collins are the stupidest humans I've ever seen in my life. And there's 30 of them within earshot at the moment. It's just like, fuck you all. And I'll just drop my ball sack into your mouth. So anyhow, a good time was had. It was, It was mostly me finishing his sentences and doing a live episode of this podcast and ragging on statists, ragging on the anti-Trumpers, ragging on chicks a little bit. Hang on 1 second, I gotta push a button on this other computer. There we go. So the guy's traveling around. So he comes into town and he's sitting here and I'm like, so what exactly do you do for a job? I mean, what do you do for a living that you have this freedom to cruise around the country? Kind of like somebody else we know. And he says, well, I'm a, what's the word? Cryptocurrency. He says, I'm a cryptocurrency trader. I have thousands of dollars worth of Bitcoin and I just trade cryptocurrencies and right now I'm just living off the profits of doing that. And I thought to myself, you cocksucking motherfucker. I hate you with every ounce of my existence. You just drive around the country with a fucking laptop. So, I mean, look. You know, here we got Aaron Clary. Now, what is Aaron? Because I told him about, and I told him, we're talking about stuff. And I said, so do you know who Aaron Clary is? He says, no, never heard of him. I'm like, okay, so you need to check out Aaron Clary. And he finds the YouTube channel and subscribes to it. You're welcome, Clary. And then we start talking about girls. And I'm saying some shit. I'm saying some stuff. And, oh yeah, I threw out the question. I got this from the Turd Flinging Monkeys show. I'm like, so you're stuck on a desert island. And it's all you, but there could be one other person with you. And it can be either Anita Sarkeesian or Big Red. Which one would you choose? And he says, well, I don't know who either of those are. I'm like, oh my God, how can you be? Oh, so he told me that he did audio editing for some podcast that Stefan Molyneux was a guest on. And the guy knows who Peter Schiff is. I'm like, okay, once again, who other than you and me and the people in the little libertarian anarcho-capo sphere, who knows who Peter Schiff is? Oh, he knows who Chris Cantwell is also. I'm just like, okay, so the guy's been listening to Stefan Molyneux longer than I have, because I asked him, how long ago did you discover Stefan Molyneux? He's like, about 10 years. And I'm like, shit, 10 years ago, I was still a right-wing statist. So the guy's been listening to Stefan longer than I have. But he doesn't know who Big Red, and he doesn't know who Anita Sarkeesian are. So I'm like, okay, so you gotta listen to Turd Flinging Monkey. So we got him subscribed to Turd Flinging Monkey. But I mean, okay, so we got Aaron Clary. Now this motherfucker, all he does, this is Aaron Clary's life, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Aaron Clary, he wakes up at like 1 p.m., he rolls out of bed, he fucking, makes some coffee, he puts on a hat, he turns on his webcam, he screams at the internet for a couple of hours, he gets paid for it, and then he fucking props his feet up and smokes a cigar. That's all the motherfucker does. This guy, Anthony, this motherfucker doesn't even do that. He just fucking turns on his laptop, trades some Bitcoin, cashes out some fucking profit, and then goes hiking. Like, you cocksucking, fucking, low-life piece of shit. How fucking dare you have it this good? You bastard. You fucking bastard. Oh, God. I have two hands, one to strangle Anthony and one to strangle Aaron Clary. Both of you, fuck off and die, you bastards. And so you say to me, well, what the hell does Aaron Clary do that he makes money yelling at the internet? Is that like some kind of cryptocurrency thing or something? Well, not yet, but it could be. Maybe. One day. I don't know. Fucking Rage Coin? I don't know. Aaron Clary makes money yelling at the internet because he owns a business. He's the CEO of a corporation. Well, it's an LLC, I think. Same diff, kind of. It's a legal fiction created by the government. It's not a real thing. It just exists on a piece of paper. But Aaron Clary is the CEO. And as a CEO, he gets paid money to yell at the internet. It's pretty fucking cushy if you can get that kind of job. You say, well, great one. What is this corporation where people get paid to yell at the internet, and how do I get in on that? Well, the corporation, the LLC, excuse me, its philosophy, we have to use the correct terms here, right? The LLC is Asshole Consulting. You can find it at assholeconsulting.com. You can go there and you can ask Aaron questions. He will give you answers. You have to pay for the answers, and he will tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth is worth it. The truth is worth more than all the lies. You can go to other consulting companies, and you can talk to your friends and your family. You can talk to a therapist. You can talk to your dog. Your dog might not lie to you, actually. Well, it depends how hungry the dog is. If the dog is hungry, the dog will probably tell you whatever you want to hear so it can get some food. Kind of like a woman. If she wants to, she wants you to spend money on her, she'll tell you whatever you want to hear so that you buy her dinner. Anyhow, Aaron Cleary's a whore, but he's not that much of a whore. He's an honest whore. You pay him what he's worth, he will tell you the truth. And then it's up to you to manage your own fucking emotions and do something with that. AssholeConsulting.com. So I'm still drinking lots of water. There's going to be plenty of pauses here. As I rehydrate so I can go work outside tomorrow and fucking sweat it all out. We're having our hot season here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. It's going over 90 degrees every day. It's traumatic when you get kind of spoiled and you don't see that shit. So let's see. Anything else relevant about that? Did I tell all the good stories? I mean, there's a lot more. Man, yeah, it was just we spent the rest of the night bitching about statist and throwing in a little bit here and there about the girly girls. Speaking of girls, as I decide where I want to go from here, as I look through the material I have thrown in front of myself. Oh, God. I really am exhausted. I think it's more mental exhaustion than anything, but it is what it is. But I'm here. I'm here for you guys because I care. Because I care so much. In the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, the 3-hour mega episode, that was more fun than I thought it would be. I'm kind of looking forward to the next one. I don't know when the hell it's going to happen, though. August is rapidly approaching, even though it's only July the 11th. God, I'm going to be busy as fuck in August. Brace yourselves now, because in August you might only get 2 new episodes a week. Third episode might be a fucking repeat, because Jesus Christ, we have a shit ton of stuff going on. Working wise, because some of us don't get paid to trade cryptocurrency because we didn't get in Bitcoin early on back when it was cheap, and then it jumped up to 2500 a Bitcoin. Some of us didn't fucking get in the cryptocurrency in the early days, and of course some of us don't get paid to yell at the internet. So you fucking cocksucker, some of us have to work, bastards. Fucking patriarchy's holding me down. In the previous Stating the Obvious, I read to you from the Collegian, thing about the ASCSU found in violation of sexual harassment policy, blah, 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 by Aaron Douglas, which unfortunately they don't tell us what people's majors are anymore because I think they know that people like I make fun of that. And boy, do we have a good one to lead off the next episode of the podcast where we talk about the Collegian, because we're going to talk about how journalism students can't do math and fake news. Anyway, a lot of the fake news, people say, well, the fake news is because the journalists are biased. Don't get me wrong, the journalists are biased. Absolutely. But I think a substantial amount of the fake news I'll get it right eventually. Much of the fake news isn't so much because the journalist creating the fake news is biased or deliberately trying to lie. I think an extensive amount of it is just because they're so stupid. And I'm going to lead off with a little bit that just illustrates to you how stupid these people are. And I'm talking about objectively stupid. This isn't like an opinion stupid. Like somebody says, well, I think vanilla ice cream is better than chocolate ice cream. I mean, that's stupid. Chocolate is way better. But that's subjectively stupid. I'm talking about objective stupidity, where people are not capable of doing things such as basic math. Anyhow, in the article about the ASCSU violating sexual harassment policies, let me read this to you again. Because after I did the cast, I started thinking about this. Here we go. Behaviors that resulted in a violation of university policy included gender stereotyping, ASCSU members pursuing other members for dates despite rejection, physical behavior sexual in nature, comments that were sexual in nature, conversations suggesting sexual activity occurred in the office, conversations about other ASCSU members' sex lives, and comments related to physical appearance and gender. Now, the part about comments about other ASCUS members' sex lives, I think we all know that came from women, because women are the ones who stand around and talk about who's fucking who. But after I read this, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, other members, wait, where is it? ASCSU members pursuing other members for dates despite rejection. And I thought about that for a second. I'm like, well, first of all, it's a little unclear. Are you saying that there was one person asking everybody for dates, or was there one person asking one person for dates multiple times? And of course, there's the whole problem of when did we become so fragile that being asked out on a date destroys you? And then, this is the way it's going through my brain. And then it occurred to me, well, I can guarantee you we know who complained about this. It was white women. Because white women are the only people who are so fragile that asking them out on a date would traumatize them. Okay, so we know this wasn't a man, completely regardless of skin color or even sexual orientation, because men don't get asked out on dates, because women don't ask men out on dates. Unless the men are homosexual, then another man may ask them out on a date. But even homosexual men are not so fucking fragile that if another homosexual man says, hey, do you want to go get a beer and then suck some dick? They're going to be like, oh my God, I can't cope with this. I'm so traumatized. I mean, odds are they're going to say yes, because they're men. And what is it that we men like to do? We men like to have sex. So there's no man in the history of the human species who has ever been traumatized by somebody else asking. I mean, hell, I've had homosexual men ask me if I want to go out. And I'm not home. And I just tell them I'm not interested. I'm not homosexual. But I've never been traumatized by it. There are things in my life that have happened that are far more traumatic than that. It's just like, I kind of like and go, yeah, I know, I'm pretty fucking hot. Even homosexual guys want me. That's how fucking great my ass is. I know this. I am a hot motherfucker. This cock, they're all the women and half the men on the planet Earth want this cock. It's kind of a compliment unless you truly are just so fucking terrified of homosexuals. You know, that you really do think, oh my God, if a gay person touches me, it's contagious. I might catch it. Or so, you know, I can see how weak-brained people could get actually traumatized by a homosexual asking them if you want to go out. But it doesn't work on me because I'm not that fucking lame. Okay, so then, could this have been Asian women being traumatized by a man asking them out on a date? No, because Asians just aren't that stupid. Could it have been a black woman being traumatized by this? Well, probably not, because if it's a black woman, she's either she came from a good neighborhood, or she came from possibly the ghetto. I'm sure that was offensive and racist, but I don't care. Okay, so if she came from a good neighborhood, she's probably got a high enough self-esteem because she hasn't had the fucking cushion of being white to get her through her entire life, that someone asks her out on a date, she's not going to be offended. And if she truly is from the ghetto, then she's probably seen, you know, like people overdosing and dying in pools of their own vomit and people getting shot, right? I mean, if you think that she's going to be traumatized by some motherfucker asking her on a date, I think you're wrong about that, because I she's going to be like, really, that's all you've got? It's like, I've strangled fucking people for you know, no, she's not going to be traumatized by that. The brown women. What's the politically correct word this week for brown people? I don't know. I mean, being from Texas, I've known lots of brown people. Some of them were probably illegal. A lot of them didn't speak any English. In my personal experience, not many of them have ever been easy to traumatize. Again, if they're the most illegal brown women of the planet, if they fucking swam here across the river and walked through the desert, okay, pretty sure they're not going to be traumatized by somebody asking them on a date. You know, if you can tromp across the fucking desert, I bet you can handle being asked out on a date. So who's left? Oh, and it's not the weird tranny, non-binary fucking multisexuals, because nobody asked them out on dates because they're weird, and if somebody did ask them out on a date, they'd be thrilled shitless. So the only group, the only demographic left that could possibly complain about someone asking them on a date more than once, there's only one demographic that could be. White women. Because nobody else on the planet Earth is that fucking fragile. They just aren't. Speaking of white women, let's talk about black men for a minute. I'm reading Aaron Cleary's blog, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, a while back, and he recommended a website called NegroManosphere.com, spelled just like it sounds, NegroManosphere.com. NegroManosphere.com. So I went over to check it out because I'm like, all right, it seems, sounds intriguing. And looked it over a little bit. I haven't been back since then, and that's not an insult. It's because I haven't had time. I did throw it in my RSS reader, so I'm getting the updates. But so I looked it over a little bit, and it appears to essentially be a Manosphere-type site aimed towards specifically black men. And I started reading some stuff, and I read three posts, two of which, one was, I mean, it was okay. It was like the background information, which I felt like, okay, I mean, it's the background. I felt like I knew all of that, but that doesn't make it a bad post. And I read these other two by this guy, he has a name. I'll tell you in a second. He does have a name. And I was blown away. I'm like, dude, this motherfucker, this is some good shit. He's writing about meeting women and dealing with and communicating with women and how you communicate. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, damn, this touches upon one of the problems I have in dealing with chicks. I'm like, this is really fucking good. And the guy's name is Alan Roger Currie. C-U-R-R-I-E. And I'm looking at the thing, and he's got some books. And he's got some books on this topic and that expand upon what's in this blog post. And I will, unless I fucking completely space it off and forget it, I will link to the blog post in the show notes. And so I went to the Amazon of the .com, and I found the book, and I bought the book. There's a couple of lessons to be learned here. Lesson number one is that, while I can't say this for a fact, so far as I know, Alan Roger Currie is not cyber begging on the motherfucking Patreon. And yet I gave him my money because I came to this website, I read his two blog posts, they were good, they were well written, they were intelligent, What in the fuck is that? It's getting windy outside, as you can probably hear the wind chime. Yes, in addition to everything else, there's a wind chime in the recording studio in front of the open window, so that when the wind blows in, the wind, yes, we are not noise-free around here. And there's something very, it's like a blanket or something blowing across the field. Fantastic. Anyway, has nothing to do with Alan Roger Curry, who showed me through his writing that he could create value for me, and then instead of begging on Patreon, he wrote a fucking book, which I then willingly paid for. And I have this book, and it is called Mode 1. Let women know what you are really thinking. I can highly recommend purchasing this book. It is, how long is this book? It's 150 pages. It's not huge. Ha, not like my cock. Anyway, enough cock jokes. Actually, it's not. They'll probably be more. Because when I'm brain dead, when I'm tired, it's just like, just default to cock jokes. It's like, okay, just throw cock jokes out there. That's low-hanging fruit. Doesn't take a lot of work to think. It's just like, oh, say something about your dick. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, it's like we're back in grade school. Four modes of verbal communication. And this is this model that he's come up with based on his experience. He tells some stories in here about where how all this came about. And this is interesting. So it's a matrix, right? You know, you've seen the matrix where you've got, on the left, you have urgent things and non-urgent things. And then on the top, you know, you have important and not important, right? And so it's like, oh, I want to say this is from the Seven Habits is where I saw this, but maybe it's from something else. You know, it's like, well, if you spend all your time doing important, urgent things and you're always putting out fires, and what you've got to spend time on is the not urgent, important things, because that what prevents things, blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, it's a matrix like that. And the way his breakdown is, across the top, he's got what women generally want to hear, and the other field is what women generally don't want to hear. And then on the side, his fields are what women generally expect to hear. The other field is what women generally don't expect to hear. And his thesis that he puts forth, so each of these are what he calls the modes. So mode one is what women generally don't expect to hear, but what women want to hear. Mode two is what women generally blah. Let me make sure I'm saying all of this right. Mode one, what women don't expect to hear, but want to hear. Mode two, what women expect to hear and want to hear. Mode three is what women expect to hear and don't want to hear. And mode four is what women don't expect to hear and don't want to hear. And that may be very nebulous, and that's fine. That's why you should buy the book. And he can create value for you, and you can create value for him. It's called capitalism. Mode one. When you express your needs, desires, interest, and intentions to a woman in a highly confident, unapologetic, straightforward, and very specific manner, your behavior is usually highly self-assured, composed, non-defensive, and provocative. You don't go out of your way to get the woman to like you or approve of your behavior. You are the personification of egotistical indifference. I'm not going to read the other modes. I'm trying to remember what I paid for this. I don't remember. Oh, on the back of the cover it says $15.95. I don't remember what I paid on Amazon.com, but it was worth it. This, and I'm not just saying this because I'm whatever. You know, the guy's not, he's not Aaron Clary. He's not paying me to say this. Don't worry, I'll make fun of Aaron Clary in a minute some more, because I gotta plug his fucking books, because he paid me to talk about his books. Because all the talking I do about him normally for free was not enough, but it's fine, I'll take... So anyway, Alan, if you would like to pay me to talk about your book, I will very enthusiastically talk about this book, because I've read books about meeting chicks, and I was like, okay, I agree with that, and there's some blah, blah, blah. But this is one of the books where I read it, I'm like, okay, this is putting me in a position where this information has to, doesn't have to do shit. This, hold on, it says here on the back, this is actually good, it says, this book will transform your life if you allow it to. And that's exactly where I'm at after I read this book. I just sat there and I stared at the wall for a little bit and I said, fuck. And again, it illuminated to me some of my shortcomings and some of my deficiencies. And it's like, god damn, man. It's like he wrote this book to address problems that I have. Thus, the amount of value I got from this book is far more than $15.95. And if I act upon what I have learned from this, since reading the book, I haven't really talked to any girls because I haven't any fucking time because I've been busy as shit. If I allow it to, this book could indeed transform my life, as he claims. Once again, it's called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking by Alan Roger Curry. Alan Roger Curry has a YouTubes and a podcast. I subscribed to both, downloaded his podcast. I also downloaded the podcast of another individual. Why did I not write his name down? Because I need to say that. Okay, give me 1 second here. He did. Now, okay, so wait, this was not via Negro Manosphere. Over at the Chateau. Rational Mail. Rolo Tomasi? If I'm mispronouncing your name, it's not intentional, it's because I'm an idiot. Tomasi, I think is the correct way to pronounce it. Rolo Tomasi. That's not it. I'm looking for, hang on, I'm not fucking well prepared. Oh, Black Dragon has a new book out also. Getting to Sex Fast. I bought it. And here we go. I bought it. I started reading it. So far it's good. Nothing earth-shattering yet, but just good information. Obsidian Radio. Okay, Rolo Tomasi did a guest appearance on a radio show called Obsidian Radio, and it's available as podcast, as MP3 format. So I listened to that. It was fantastic. I will, in the show notes, there will be a link to where you can get that episode. So I subscribe, I RSS'd and downloaded the podcast from Obsidian Radio and also from Alan Roger Curry. And the whole thing, it was like 30 gigabytes of podcast total. So I'm like, oh my God, that's so much to listen to. So anyhow, it's the Obsidian Radio. Obsidian Radio, I love his tagline. He calls himself the voice of the everyday brother. He also has a YouTube. Both of these guys are on the YouTube. If you want to go over there. And the Obsidian Radio with Rolo. The only bad thing about it, the sound quality at some points it was shitty. Which is to be expected, because as far as I don't know if it's really a radio show or if it just... I think it's an internet radio show, not an airwaves radio show. But so people call in, and people were calling in, and of course when people are calling in, they're calling on their telephone, and the reception and the different people were not necessarily normalized, the guests and all this other stuff. And they had some guests on there and stuff like that. So, but anyhow, the sound quality, there's some moments where it'll make you want to bang your head against the wall. I just power through it, guys, because it's close to... How long is this fucking thing? Dude, it's 3 hours long. and it was 3 hours of golden material. Absolutely golden. And I think it was kind of interesting to hear black men talking about this sort of stuff, because I think this is subjective. This is my feels. This is my, what's the word I'm looking for? The impression. This is my impression. Is that a lot of times even the red-pilled white guys can seem a little reluctant to say things. But the red-pilled black people, the red-pilled black men, you know, like offending some little white girl is the least concern they have. And these guys are just throwing shit out. And there's some hilarious, and there's some very honest stuff in there, and there's some great stuff in there. And one of the funniest parts is one of the brothers who had called in was talking about his discovery of the manosphere. And I'm paraphrasing heavily, but this is the gist of it. And he says, yeah, you know, I found the manosphere on the interwebs, and I'm reading all this stuff written by all these white guys. And he's like, yeah, and he's like, I'm reading all the things that these guys are saying about women. And they're like, oh, I've discovered, and this is how it is, and I figured this out. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, this is just a bunch of white men talking about stuff that I already knew. And I just, it's like, that's really fucking funny. Because it kind of is in a lot of ways. I think it shows a little of the cultural difference. Again, because I'm from the South. I'm not from the People's Republic of Fort Collins, where there's like 17 black people in town. And most of the white people I know have only seen black people on TV. You know, I'm from the South, where we actually have black people. We don't just, you know, Photoshop them into pictures to talk about our diversity. Or, you know, like CSU campus, where every time they do publicity shots for the campus, they have to go out and find black people and shove them in every photo. I actually grew up with black people. And was around black and worked with black people, was friends with black people. I actually knew real live black people. And my experience with black men is that they definitely have a very different grasp of interacting with women than white guys do. And when he just said that, because it's like, I could totally see that. Like all this stuff, like when I came to the manosphere, I'm reading all this shit and I'm going, oh, wait, so women like men who are indifferent to them, because that, whoa, it's like, this was fucking news to me. I've never, you know, I was beta mailed from fucking day one. This was like first time I read that and started processing it. I'm like, no, really? Really? What, chicks like it when you treat them indifferently? Holy shit, I thought I was supposed to bring them flowers and kiss their asses and all this other, and you tell a brother would be like, no, like a brother would just know that. I don't know if it's whatever. I can't say why. Is it instinctual? Is it in their DNA? Are they just more alpha? I don't fucking know. But like the brothers just know that kind of shit. And so listening to these three black guys talking to Rolo about chicks and everything is trust me, guys, go listen to the fucking podcast. Anyhows, fuck. Randy, where, I'm not even paying attention to time. I don't even have my window up either. Where the fuck are we? Okay, thank you. 44. Anyhow, I haven't listened to any of Alan Roger Curry's podcast or YouTube yet. I have not listened to any of the Obsidian Radio podcast or videos yet, because I haven't had time. But based on the quality of Mr. Curry's book, and based on the quality of the one episode of Obsidian Radio that I have listened to, I do intend to be listening to them as soon as I can squeeze it in and check it out. Once again, I listened to this episode. If you're not a virgin toe and you like girls and you want to meet them, get this book. Speaking of virgin toes, Let's talk about how you, yes, you, my friends, you can avoid being a virgin toe if you would, in fact, like to avoid being a virgin toe. It's a great one. How do I avoid being a virgin toe? How the fuck can I do that? Well, you can start. Every journey starts with one fucking footstep. And you can start by taking one step closer to the Aaron Clary literary canon. Say, oh, really? So this Clary, is this the same Clary guy that fucking wakes up at 1 p.m., yells at the internet for a couple of hours while wearing a funny hat, and then smokes a cigar with his feet propped up? Yep, it's that same fucking cock, because he doesn't have a job. Fucking bastard. He just fucking travels around the United States on his motorcycle, hiking and fucking fossil hunting and smoking cigars with people and podcasting and this fucking worthless cocksucking bastard. Anyhow, when the bastard's not yelling at the internet and smoking cigars, he's motherfucker writes books. He's written a few books. I'll tell you about them. But okay, so you say great one. So I'm gonna delve into the Aaron Clary literary canon. I'm gonna not be a virgin toe. What book should I read first? Well, the book you should read first is the book that all men should read. It's the book that boys should all be given on their 15th birthday. It is the book Bachelor Pad Economics, the financial advice Bible for men. Here's what Aaron Clary himself, the great Aaron Clary himself, has to say about this book. Bachelor Pad Economics is the financial advice Bible for men and any women who are bold enough to read it. Whether you're 14 and just trying to figure out life, or 70 and starting to think about estate planning, Bachelor Pad Economics addresses every major and minor economic and financial issue the average man will face in his entire life. From dating, to what to major in, to purchase a home, to starting a business, to children and wife training. Yes, it does say wife training, and yes, wives do need to be trained. That's sexist. Okay, it's sexist, it's still true. Bachelor Pad Economics is the wisdom you wish the father you never had gave you. And I wish that guy had a muffler. Written for guys, it is candid, blunt, honest, and everything else Oprah isn't. And it will give you the roadmap you need to provide direction and purpose in your life, guaranteed to prove more useful than a college degree. Bachelor Pad Economics is well worth the money to buy and the time to read. And I do agree with that. Now, once again, what is our policy here at Stating the Obvious? You look at the one-star reviews in order to determine. Now, I was going to say, I thought something the other day, I thought about something brilliant I was going to say about the one-star review. Because there's like this little caveat that I was going to throw in that you just, I don't remember what it was. It'll come to one of these days, I'll tell you about it. But trust me on this one. You look at the one-star reviews and you see what are the people saying in the one-star reviews as compared to the five-star reviews. Now, if it's nothing but one-star reviews, I think that's what I was going to say. Okay, if it's nothing but one-star reviews, then that tells you the book maybe really actually does suck. But when you go to a book, and I don't know what Bachelor Pad Economics, its overall rating is. Well, let's say you go to a book and its overall rating is, you know, even 3.5, 4 something, right? And there's this little sprinkle of one-star reviews. Well, most people are liking it. And the one-star reviews will often tell you better why people like the book than the five-star reviews. So this is perhaps one of the most classic one-star reviews ever. And once again, if this first sentence that I'm going to read to you does not sell this book to you, I don't know what will. Okay. One-star review by Trader Johnin. This book has already been banned by some libraries. If I were Aaron Clary and got up at 1 p.m. and yelled at the internet and then smoked a cigar every day and got paid for it, I would put that quote on the back I would revise Bachelor Pad Economics, and that quote would be in huge text on the back of the book. Hell, maybe on the fucking cover. The book has been banned by some libraries. That's like when people said, remember when people said, well, none of the former presidents have endorsed Donald Trump. It's like, okay, is that are you arguing for Donald Trump or against him? I'm really fucking confused. Because you're telling me none of the cocksucking politicians who have been president, who have, you know, murdered other people, destroyed the economy, passed regular law, none of those cocksuckers are endorsing Donald Trump? I'm confused. Are you for Trump or against him? Because you're making me want to vote for him. So when you come to me and you tell me, well, this book has been banned by libraries, are you arguing for the book or against it? Because I'm confused. I'm saying this is a net positive. If left-wing statist government-run public libraries are banning the book, I can't think of anything more positive to say than that right there. It goes on to say, please Google the reviews before buying. Go to the author's website on YouTube and listen to him. There you go. Yeah, go listen to him. Absolutely. Great idea. And then there's the rest of the canon. I'm almost out of time. We're almost out of time. Sorry, guys. Poor Richard's retirement. Bachelor Pad Economics. What do we got? Enjoy the decline. Accepting of the fall of the curse of the high IQ. I'm flipping pages. The Reconnaissance Man. One of these days I need to make all this list on one piece of paper. Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty, which would be great. You could get that and the book by Alan Roger Curry if you're a black guy. You should get the book by Alan Roger Curry if you're not a black guy. Behind the Housing Crash. And of course, Captain's Quarterly, Captain Capitalism Reserved, Captain Capitalism Top Shelf, his compilations of his best blog articles. And finally, one of my favorite books, right up there with Bachelor Pad Economics, Boris the Shitting Buffalo. All right, dude, the rain is coming in. It's getting windier. Clouds are building. It might rain. Wrapped up a podcast. It sucked a little bit, but didn't suck too bad. Go buy some books. Do it through the Amazon affiliate link, cls.link. Spend money. Capitalism. Going to debt. Better yet, get welfare. If you could buy books with food stamps, do it, man. Whatever. Use your government funding. Remember, the more government money we spend, the sooner the federal government will collapse.